scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Well, you know, talk a little bit about the Packers.
Sometimes when we talk on the what's called the talk back, sometimes those things leak to the air.
Hold on a second.
Pull back the curtain.
All right. Hold on. Bring the music down, Miller. All right. Time to break the fourth wall. Now you know how the... how the sausage is made around here, if you follow the expression.
Talk a little bit about the Bears and Packers, and then we'll take some calls.
That is.
I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry.
Rune Aldridge, everybody. Producer director Rune back there. Rune, there he is, piping in the instructions for us this segment, for everyone to hear.
Rune was a legend.
I mean, could you imagine?
Steve Levy here. We're going to go to a video package here. Here we go. 3, 2.
Oh, am I on the air? Oh, God. Like, that's great, Danny. At least people know that you're working.
I try my hardest, guys. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry.
Metallica and Puppet Master back here.
Do you know the Mark Grace story? That exact thing? They told him before a game, Mark, do not use your talk back. That button is broken.
Yes.
Do not use the talk back. Mike Remlinger comes in to pitch, and he had been really struggling. And I think they had picked him up, the Diamondbacks. He hits the talk back and goes, this effing guy, he's horrible.
Oh, boy.
And he thinks he's talking to his producers, and somebody from Diamondbacks management walks in and says, can I see you in the hall? Are you aware of what you just said on the air? No. Did you just drop 2 F-bombs and an MF about Mike Remlinger? Yeah. How'd you know? Because we told you your talk back. Son of a!
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
That's a true story.
I'm a man of faith.
So the Packers, like...
Look at Danny chiming in. Well, I guess we're going right to the Packers because we heard the instructions from Danny.
Low Packers talk here. The Bears get to the phone calls.
So the Bears schedule's out. They get the Packers October 17th here. That's a noon start. Not a lot of noon starts this year.
No.
And which means, I guess, that your people want to watch you on the national stage. But they get the Packers October 17th. Hoodie and I both said, well, if Rodgers is there, it's a really tough game to win, obviously. If he's not there, we gave it a W. Then you get the Green Bay Packers Sunday, December 12th, Sunday Night Football at Green Bay. If that is Blake Bortles or Jordan Love up there, boy, does that game look differently.
You will find out whether or not the Bears will actually play on Sunday Night Football if the Packers are bad. That is a flex-out game for the NBC.
That's right. I didn't even think of that.
They will get out of that.
Even if the Bears are really good, they could say, no. You know what, the Packers don't have Rodgers out.
That'll be at 325. It'll make your head spin how quickly that'll happen.
Right.
Peacock will be on the phone. Like, we don't want that game. Flex out.
Out. Exactly.
She'll say, no, we don't want that game. No way. Even if it's Bears-Packers. If the Packers are horrible, and I understand from the schedule maker standpoint why they did that. It's like, you know, this could be Aaron Rodgers maybe last year. We got to put him on prime time. But Bears-Packers, that doesn't work if the Packers are horrible. We've Correct. Seen enough of the other way where the Bears were bad, and they put the game on anyway.
Correct.
So
as we went through this schedule, there's some intriguing trips to make. I think Danny and Sylvie and Meller and Carm are taking their boys to the Tampa game October 24.
Not Meller.
Which could be in the... it's Carmen. He does that show.
Yeah, but Yurko's not going to be there.
Oh, well, I guess Meller's out then. He'll take Fred. Go ahead.
Wow. But they're going to go there, and that will also be in the throes of a World Series run, hopefully.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Yep.
See it coming.
Could be.
Then they also have got trips, the Bears, to L.A. to open the season on Sunday Night Football. Very, very cool. Cleveland, September 26, when the White Sox are also in Cleveland.
Clincher.
So that might be the only time anyone would go, I don't hear anybody say they want to go to Cleveland on vacation, Joakim. but maybe you will that weekend.
I go to Cleveland on vacation. I can always make the best out of any trip.
Because you're Jonathan Hood.
And plus, I've covered the Horizon League.
Yes.
I'm
beats the hell out of Youngstown.
The Garden Spot.
Oakland, Michigan.
Like, yeah, the Oakland Golden Grizzlies going to Rochester, Michigan.
Fort Wayne.
Troy, Alabama.
Yeah. Cleveland works, too, though, because it's driving distance. You could pack up the car, you know, Thursday night if you want, make a three-day weekend out of it, and then head home after the Bears game.
Sure.
Like, you know, it doesn't even have to be a vacation. It could just be an extended weekend.
Yeah.
I can make the most out of that.
That'd be cool. The other interesting ones that would be cool trips, Seattle is the day after Christmas.
No shot.
I mean, hey, Mindy, I know her biggest two holidays are Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve. Everything else, well, whatever. Christmas Eve, not even Christmas Day, Christmas Eve is her big deal.
How about this, Cap? You propose to Mindy and say, I got an idea, honey. I think we spend Thanksgiving in Detroit and Christmas in Seattle. What do you think? We'll watch the Bears. Happy holidays.
She'd say, have a nice time.
Yeah, have a good time. The kids and I will be at the house. So, but there's some cool trips on there, man. I'm just telling you. It's going to be fun. To go to the Pittsburgh is a great underrated town. To go to Pittsburgh for Monday Night Football, Bears Steelers, November 8th, that would be a fun trip.
The schedule makers made it tough on the Bears, but it's very intriguing to see where the season goes. At the beginning of our show, I said the Bears will be 8-9. Again, first blush with the pencil. I'll make the official prediction probably after the Titan game on the 28th, the preseason game.
There you go.
At that time. And you feel like they can win about 10 or 11 games, right?
I think they can win. Again, Rodgers is the wrench into the fly into the ointment.
Sure.
If there's no Aaron Rodgers there, and again, as Hoodie just said, this is in pencil because you could look up and go, oh, we're playing the Arizona Cardinals. They're a good football. Oh, Kyler Murray's out? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you never know what the roster looks like when you get to play them. Nobody thought they were beating Tampa last year. They did.
As Rune told us earlier, mm-hmm. Aldridge over there, he told us, hey, take the over now. If it's still 7.5, take the over now.
Yeah, what did you call him? Aldridge?
Yeah, Rune Aldridge.
Arledge.
No, Aldridge.
Different. That's David.
Yeah, that's different name. It's Rune Aldridge, the producer of Monday Night Football originally.
But I agree with you that there is that tough pocket of games where you go at Las Vegas, Green Bay, at Tampa,
tough.
San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, bye week, Baltimore, Thanksgiving, 4 days later, game in Detroit.
So
that's a tough run.
Okay, let's make it clear, as we told Wiederer in our last hour, we're overjoyed by Fields. We're overjoyed by what the Bears did in the draft. Of course, these are all suspects instead of being prospects until we see them on the field mm-hmm. or hear about them. But we're overjoyed about the Fields pick. We're overjoyed that Trubisky now is in Buffalo. But the question still stands about this team, right? This is it's a great mask for everything that's going on with this Bears team. But the same questions we had at the end of the season are still apparent. What do you look like defensively? And my biggest fear, Cap, is that when we look at this pocket of games that you just talked about, right? Raiders, Packers, Buccaneers, 49ers, Steelers, bye weekend to the Ravens game. You got enough defense to stop these good offenses? Got enough? Whatever you think of Shanahan, you know he's got a plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may not be the Garoppolo fan. You may not look at him as like, oh, that guy's washed. He's not good. But still, Shanahan's got a good offensive game plan.
No question.
So now Lamar Jackson. You say the Bears might beat Baltimore. Still Lamar Jackson. Still a threat.
Correct.
He's only getting better.
No question.
So then you go to Tampa, the GOAT, and Tom Brady. You take a look at the Steelers. Roethlisberger's probably last run with the Steelers, but still a dangerous offense. That's my concern.
And they get Juju Smith-Schuster back. He had been hurt.
It's my concern. Do you have enough defense to make those plays? Is an Eddie Goldman enough to be able to get to the quarterback as often as you'd like? Big question still.
Huge.
So, like,
is Robert Quinn going to show up?
Don't know. What do you have in mind for the secondary on the side of a young Jalen Johnson? What do you have there?
Kendall Vildor, Desmond Trufant. They need another corner. And there's a lot of speculation that after the June 1 cap casualties, they will find a veteran corner that wants to come in and play.
So I want to put it in perspective. Like, man, I'm jacked that they got Justin Fields because now you got your quarterback for the future. You solidified that. I think you cured, if not one, two holes on the offensive line by getting it done early in the draft. I like what the Bears did in the draft because you filled the needs. But the thing is, Cap, is that doesn't get away from all those question marks we had at the end of last season. Trying to figure out how they fill those holes. And you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle now because as the defense ages, now you're regressing there. You're going to give up 30, 35 points a game against some of these good teams?
Then you're not probably going to win a lot of games. You know who I think is one of the biggest keys to the entire season? Robert Quinn.
We'll see, right?
He had the highest pass rush win rate with Dallas. He comes here. He was awful.
Yep.
If Robert Quinn is Robert Quinn and Mac is healthy, you got Goldman back, you got Eddie Hicks, you got Roquan, you got Danny Trevathan, you got Bilal Nichol. Like, you got some really good players up there. All of a sudden, you're a different team. If he's the awful Robert Quinn of last year, you got issues.
Bears defense are the Cubs. Meaning that you see a Cubs lineup, you're like, oh, man, how are we going to pitch to Hayward? Oh, look at Bryant. Look at Rizzo. You're afraid of those guys. I mean, initially, we see that. It's like, part of those, that was part of the 2016 championship team. They're dangerous, right? No. You look at his defense. All those guys you mentioned, you take on Khalil Mack, you know that he could be a sack master, just not on this team.
Correct.
The blitzing number that you gave at the end of last year, tell us again what you heard about the blitzing. Why the Bears are so poor, one of the worst in the league in trying to get to the quarterback?
Chuck Pagano told someone I'm very close to that I could not run everything I wanted to run because I knew when you sell out and try and get to the quarterback, you're going to give up some big plays. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough bodies back there if you're bringing seven guys to rush the passer. And when they weren't getting performance out of Robert Quinn for whatever reason, and Khalil was banged up, that Chuck said, I got to play more vanilla defense because if we get behind 7 points, or God forbid 14 because two big plays beat us, we can't come back. Mitchell Trubisky, Nick Foles, it doesn't matter. We can't come back.
Now, I wonder how that philosophy changes this season.
With Dalton and Justin Fields.
I'd like to know what that looks like now.
I would love to.
I completely understand why you get back. It's like, you know what, we're going to send three. If you can't get home, at least we got, you know, we've got eight back here that could be able to stop the big play in the middle of the field. Other side, the linebackers in front of the secondary.
Except they're dinking and dunking down the field on you.
And great run after the catch.
Right.
Now, my question is, how does that get better this upcoming season, right? I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like,
pass rush.
I'm not going to try to pour cold water over the Bears, but I'm looking at reality of the things that you and I talked about all season about the defense and trying to figure out how that gets better. With all the good, can the question marks become positives?
Yeah, pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Goldman being back, helping the stuff to run with Akeem. He's got to stay healthy. And you got to get Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn have got to be all really good players. It's what you're paying them for. 312-332-3776. What are the Packers doing? Are they trying to piss Rodgers off even more? And your calls next.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah.
All right, you guys didn't really listen to what I told you last break. I said talk about the Packers, so let's make sure we hit the Packers here before we get to the calls.
Got it. All right.
Our guy. Danny. Ruin our Lynch in there.
There he is. There he is. So you know what he said. He says, pound the Packers and the Bears. So there you go.
There you go.
Earning his work.
312-332-3776.
Careful now. Got the number?
Yeah, 312-332 ESPN.
Okay, just check.
At no point did I say toss out the number.
These new bits that are organic are so good.
Well, I mean, just
once you call it a bit, it dies.
It's just so funny. It's just like out of nowhere. Like,
Well, that's the magic
of radio.
What
name will not come up on the show today? Rune Arledge. I guess it will.
I mean, he's the most powerful man in TV, Monday Night Football.
Danny ought to dye his hair like white, like Rune. Rune Arledge.
No, you can't do that. It's natural now. He's got the good hockey hair.
He does grab. Yeah. Danny has great hockey hair. Great.
He says, what's that? He says, what are the Packers doing? Are they trying to piss Rodgers off?
Look, he needs to understand he's being paid a lot of money. They've offered him a 3-year extension.
Yes.
For large, large money. What that means for Jordan Love, I have no idea, because what do you do with Jordan Love when you have to pick up his 5th-year option? He's never been on the field.
No, don't know. It's a great unknown. I don't know what happens, Cap.
But if that's the case, if they truly get Aaron to agree to this, then what you did with Jordan Love was the stupidest draft pick of all time. You basically took your number one pick and kicked it 5 years down the road and hope you could trade it for something.
But this is what we criticized the Bears about for years. Where's your quarterback in the pipeline? Who's your next guy? You got to prepare.
Agreed.
Who's your next guy?
Agreed.
I don't know if Jordan Love can play. I have not. And you know what's worse? The Packers don't know either. But you have to figure it out at some point. I just know that there's egos in sports, and we've seen this for many years, right? Mm-hmm. We've gone back and forth about the Bulls' end and who's at fault and who gets credit and all that other stuff, right? Same thing with the Packers. The Packers say, you know what, we're going to be steadfast in our belief that Rodgers will return. If not, we're going to keep our management in place, says Mark Murphy. We're going to keep our guys in place.
So
no matter what.
Okay, if you're a betting man, we did our picks pencil on what the Bears record will be. If you're a betting man, where is Aaron Rodgers September 12th?
Jeopardy.
Not playing football at all.
To who? With whom? You going to be a backup somewhere?
What about the starter in Denver?
Hey, man, the world can't stop for Aaron Rodgers, right? You got to be able to have your program in place at some point. If that's going to happen, Cap, let's see what happens by June. If there's going to be a trade or something else, or he retires and he comes back, is he doing television? I have no idea.
Danny's on the phone. Meller, is Aaron Rodgers wearing a football uniform September 12, 2021? And where is that uniform? What color is it?
Ooh, that's a good one, Cap. I will have thoughts on that on the Yurko and Carmen show at 10:30.
Yep. So
how about that?
Yeah. So where the info is.
That's it.
Yep. Yes, yes, he will be wearing a football uniform.
What team?
Can't go back to college.
No, he can't.
Cal Berkeley.
I think I think he's not going to like it, but I think he will be playing for the Packers. Yeah. I think he tried to manipulate and maneuver his way out of Green Bay, but I don't think he really, and this is for someone who's really smart, I don't think he grasped the timing of it. By waiting until draft night, which I do believe was completely deliberate because he wanted to make them feel the way he felt on the previous draft night, I think by doing that, though, he made it damn near impossible for anybody to really pull off a deal. Like, he was trying to manufacture his way to San Francisco. I truly believe that's what he wanted. He, he's from the Bay Area, wanted to get back to California, and saw Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, and all they're missing is a potential franchise quarterback. They're set up if he can get there. I think that's what he wanted to do. But by waiting until draft day, hours before, he put the Niners in a situation where if they couldn't pull off the deal, if the Packers rebuffed them, then they have no choice but to draft Trey Lance. And so now they're in this weird spot where he wanted to go to San Fran, and now they're like, okay, well, Denver looks like the next obvious landing spot. But we've all talked about this. That's not good for Aaron Rodgers career-wise.
You're going backwards in that spot.
And then you've got to compete with Patrick Mahomes to win your division year in and year out. That's the only quarterback in the league where Aaron Rodgers probably loses in a head-to-head matchup, if you're putting the check mark.
Never be happier than happy if you can. You know, at Green Bay, if you go back, you have a chance to win the division again. Correct. As the Bears try to figure themselves out, the quarterback position, Lions are bad, Vikings will be okay. You can just win the division if that's, and I know that's not enough, right? It's nothing. It's being the valedictorian of your summer school class. It means nothing, right? Ultimately, you want to be able to get the biggest prize and getting into the Super Bowl. A couple of plays away from getting there. But, Cap, He doesn't like the way management's going. So what are you going to do about it, Aaron? Are you going to step away from the game or go back in there and fight? Fight. That's what you do. That's the answer. You fight. You get there to the Super Bowl.
See if you can shut every critic up and go, guess what? We just won the Super Bowl.
You fight to get there.
So do you sign the extension?
If I'm him? Well, if he's unhappy, no shot.
Right.
No shot.
So you're asking him, and again, I don't know what the Jeopardy deal's going to pay, but you're asking him to leave a lot of money on the table. Or he's saying, I'm going to leave a lot of money on the table.
He's not going to be the Jeopardy host. I know that's like the leverage they're trying to play. He was good for a football player.
He was the best of the guys they had.
I think he was? He's better than Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper wasn't very good.
What about Joe Buck? I didn't watch.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see the Joe Buck.
Or has it even aired yet, the Joe Buck episodes? I don't know if they've aired.
I don't know.
Like, I have a feeling that Joe Buck will do it better than Aaron Rodgers did it.
Does he want to do it? Actually, Joe Buck is trying to find a path out of the booth at some point. He's talked about that. He's talked about, like, I don't know I'm going to be doing the World Series, you know, for the next 10 years. He's already talked about that openly.
I'm amazed by guys make this insane amount of money and they have this tremendous platform. They're always looking for the next platform.
Well, I think it's you when you're Joe Buck.
It's the business.
Yeah. Has Joe Buck been doing the World Series for 20 years now? Like, it's been a long time that he's been, you know, the lead voice on the World Series, going back to Tim McCarver in the early. Like, yeah, it's like got to be close to 20 years that Joe Buck's been calling World Series.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to quit football to do Jeopardy. I read a whole story about how Jeopardy works. In one day, they shoot 5 episodes, enough for the entire week, right? So how many weeks does Jeopardy go? In a matter of a month, he can film enough shows to last an entire season. If he wanted to, he could do 2 months, they're 2 off months, and have 2 seasons worth of shows and not even worry about it. I mean,
it's
not like something where he can't do football and host Jeopardy. I don't think he's the guy that they're going to pick. I don't think he's big enough for that. He's big to us because he plays football, but like, does Peacock know who Aaron Rodgers is? Is she like mesmerized by him enough that she would tune into Jeopardy because of him?
She doesn't know who that is.
Yeah. Like, my wife knows who Aaron Rodgers is, but like, I don't think that's a draw for her to watch Jeopardy.
But Danny's exactly right, because like my buddy Steve Wilkos, he said we shoot to the end of March. We crank out 3 and 4 episodes in a day of his show. And at the end of March, I'll see you the last week of August.
Well, I was reading a story about Alec Trebek.
Alex, yeah.
Before he passed away, and it talked about how much he was making, like $14 million a season. Ooh. And he had more downtime than anybody else on TV because they like cram all those shows into such a short period of time.
He's right. Exactly right. That's how a lot of those do it, and they're all what's called evergreen, where they're not dated.
It's amazing there's never spoilers. I made $15 million, it'd be all over social media.
Yeah, but they make you sign a contract, right? So, like, let's say you went on Jeopardy, you won $15 million. If you told people you did it before the show aired, they're not giving you your $15 million. I don't believe they pay you until after it airs. So you have way too much to lose.
Mm. I'm tying up all my loose ends. In my mind, I know what bills I'm going to pay. And already taken care of. I got my lake house and my.
I got that money spent already.
It's already before I even get the check coming in.
You tell your wife goes on. So you did what?
Don't worry, the money's coming in.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
No check. Nick Palazzolo, who's a loyal listener,
it's a P1,
said Joe Buck is doing it early August. He believes that's when we'll see his episode.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, but you ask, like, you know, why do people plan down the road? That's the business, man. You don't know what could happen. Better have a plan.
You, Joe Buck.
I'm leaving the booth. Like, I can see that happening. Sure. Sure. Like, after you replace me with Hall, I already see myself as a programmer somewhere down the line.
Wow.
So I already know. You have to, Meller. Like, when he gets rid of me, when he goes through the back channels, he goes, I don't think this is working out.
Take that.
Yeah.
Spark A.
West Palm.
Probably West Palm. Yeah. ESPN West Palm. I'll take over there.
312-332-3776.
Never denies it, though. You notice that? Never denies it.
I always deny it.
Yeah, never does. You notice that, Danny? Just keeps it moving.
One thing about Cap, when he doesn't want to lie, he just doesn't answer. He just kind of leaves it open. Open-ended. Moves on to the next thing.
Anyway.
So anyway.
Tell David I'll call him later.
Or he'll change the subject. You'll be like, so when you work with Hall, and he'll be like, did I tell you about the phenomenal chicken breast I made last night? Nobody was talking about dinner, man.
Wow.
All right. We've got all these calls. Cedric and Gorman and Justin and Loopy. We got to get to them, but we have shot, no shot as well.
I love you.
I love
it's
you.
It's so funny.
We'll be right back.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000. That's why I say amen, I shot, no shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
amen, I shot. Shot, no shot. Brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. And then stop by Hawthorne Racecourse. It'll take you 2 minutes to register your account. Dan Yul Zetterman.
Gentlemen!
Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, boys.
Morning, Danny.
How you guys doing today?
We're good. Now that Cap's off the phone, we can go back to the show.
Cap's the guy that talks on the phone on speaker. It's my least favorite person in public.
You're in your room and I'm in mine and Johnny wasn't even in here.
Because I was trying to give you your privacy.
I was talking to Ryan McGuffey, my guy. There's no privacy there.
Well, I'm respectful to your privacy.
Don't have to be. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Danny.
All right, gentlemen. We've been talking about...
We're broadcasting now. You can take the toothpick out, Dusty.
My God. Danny.
Jeez. Come on, bro. All Cap needs is a kid sitting on his lap to deflect the shots you're taking
at
him.
Okay. You know what?
What?
That's Darren Baker, who's... Like a really good person.
Darren Baker only showed up when Dusty Baker was being criticized. That's what Tony La Russa needs. He needs a kid.
A meat
I'll
shield.
Rent him one of mine.
A meat shield.
Yep.
Go ahead.
All right, gentlemen. We've
Doesn't
been talking.
Doesn't need one. He's already got Cap sitting on his lap.
It's all right. I'll be at his manager of the year induction, too. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, we've been talking about the Bears' schedule all morning. We've been talking about Justin Fields and when he's going to start. I ask you, shot or no shot, the way in which Matt Nagy and his staff use Justin Fields early in the season will tell us all we need to know about the future of Matt Nagy and this team.
Use him early. You expect to see Dalton Fields on the field at the same time? I hope not.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't think they're going to put... Like, we saw Mitchell Trubisky get hurt trying to run that little
gadget play,
wildcat. Yeah. They're not putting Justin Fields out there to go, oh, God, our number one pick just took it in the shoulder. Boy, no chance.
Please don't. Please don't do that.
Don't
play.
Do that. Like if you bring him in and you go, hey, we're going to show you a different look and we're going to throw the ball or whatever, get him a little run, whatever. Well, I just think Matt's more traditional than that.
I don't like that play either. I don't mind it on Saturdays because that's where I'm watching it. Mm-hmm. The two quarterback system, like he's good for this third down. I don't want to see that. So I'll say no shot to that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
My theory is that if Justin Fields sits till the bye week, like you suggested, yep. or later,
yep.
it means Matt Nagy's not going anywhere. But if he feels pressure to play him early, after two or three rocky games from Dalton, he's like, we got to get Fields in there. That means he realizes that his future is more up in the air than we think.
That will determine it. But I still believe the first four games, the Bears will go 3-1. Now, of course, it's Matt Nagy. I don't think Trubisky should have been pulled in the Atlanta game still, but he was because mm-hmm. he wanted a spark. You saw that,
yeah,
right?
No question.
Over the Jewish holidays. You're watching that and you're like, pull him now? Because you just had enough?
Correct.
Foles just gives you a little magic, and then it just goes downhill.
Yeah, the truck just went through the guardrail. But to Danny's point, I don't think the Bears are going to force this kid to play when he's not ready.
If Nagy thinks he's on the hot seat, maybe he forces him sooner than he should.
It's an organizational decision here. They're going to... I know it's their word, but they're going to collaborate. Matt's not going to feel out on an island. I got to play the kid. No chance.
All right, Danny.
No chance.
All right, gentlemen, while we talk about the schedule and we talk about the Packers, they are set, the Packers, for three appearances on Sunday Night Football. They play Week 3 against the 49ers, Week 14 against our Bears, Week 17 against the Vikings. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the NFL schedule makers know for a fact that Aaron Rodgers will be a Packer this season. That's why they schedule them for so many primetime games.
Yeah, no shot. They do not know. And, look, they have to schedule as if he's going to be the quarterback. He's under contract. It is Green Bay. They went to the NFC title game. But, no, they do not know. They couldn't know.
I think, and unless you have some confirmation on this, I think that the schedule was made after the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So that means, like, in throughout February, maybe a little bit into March, I think they knew the matchups they want to have. I don't think it's anything contingent on the draft either. They assumed that Aaron Rodgers would be there, because if they knew that Aaron Rodgers was going to leave, Green Bay wouldn't have as many primetime games, because you have hindsight, like, okay, if he's not going to be there, we're not going to put these guys on primetime five times. I would say that that happened at the Super Bowl or afterwards.
I think it had to happen after the draft, because the Bears have five primetime games. You're telling me the NFL schedule makers were going to put Andy Dalton or Nick Foles on primetime TV five times?
Well, you know, they like the market, though.
Yeah,
the
but
NFL.
When you get Justin Fields, then that becomes such a huge national exciting story. Now that warrants them having five primetime games.
Yeah, the Bears still are a huge draw, even if it's Mitchell Trubisky. So
okay, I got to look and see what the Giants and like the Jets when they are in primetime too, because they want New York, L.A., Chicago.
Correct.
They want Dallas.
Mahomes.
Yeah, they want Kansas City. They want the bigger markets, right?
No question.
I just have to look at these other ones. But after the draft seems really soon. Like, okay, here's the draft solidified. Now let's put a schedule together. I'm not so sure.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen, moving on. The status of Jonathan Taves, which, you know, his health sidelined him for this entire season, has been one of the most asked questions from fans this season. Stan Bowman, he addressed it yesterday with the reporters. He said, quote, "I talked to Jonathan a couple weeks ago. He's doing well. We had a good chat. We talked for 15 to 20 minutes. Our hockey team is very connected with him at this point. I don't have anything more than that. We're hopeful he'll be back, but we're going to let it play out, and we will see." That sentence there, "we're hopeful he will be back, but we're going to let it play out." Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, that comment right there leads you to believe Jonathan Taves will not be ready for next season.
Well, that's a tough one. What do you think?
The fact that he missed the entire season, and there's such secrecy and mystery left to twist in the wind out there. It's not like when D. Rose blew out his ACL, we didn't know if he's coming back, he's not coming back. Gar Fubard, that whole thing from a press perspective.
Real quick, before you make your decision, because we haven't played it yet, this is a perfect opportunity. Chris Johnston, who is a NHL reporter for Sportsnet up in Canada,
yesterday
had this report on Wednesday Night Hockey.
And let's finish on an upbeat note. You know, Jonathan Taves of the Chicago Blackhawks ended up missing the entire season this year with a medical conditional lethargy. The Blackhawks are hoping to have him back. And right now, the early word, guys, is that there's a lot of confidence from those close to Taves that he'll be able to return and play for Chicago next season.
Lethargy?
Yeah, it's
lethargy. Is he has a little bit of lethargy?
The organization has lethargy. I'm more inclined to believe that if it was something horrifically wrong with him, that we would have eventually heard about it, and they would just say, "Look, he's not going to be able to continue his career." Whatever the case may be, I believe that Jonathan Taves will play.
Danny, I believe he will play, but as I've told you before, if this is the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA, we would know what it is. But you know how secret the NHL is. How often have you seen, like after the Stanley Cup championship is already done, "Well, you know this guy, you know, he only played with one nut." Like, what?
Right.
You say it was a lower body injury. Yeah, he only had one testicle.
When the Hawks beat the Boston Bruins in 2013, right after it, they rushed Patrice Bergeron, when the Hawks won, to the hospital.
Yeah.
And they said, "He's been playing with a collapsed lung." Like, what?
They won't tell you.
Like, you can die from a collapsed lung. He's out on a hockey game.
How's the NHL been doing this for years? Upper body injury, lower body injury. You know he's had two broken legs.
Yes, we took both of his kidneys out 2 weeks ago.
How? He's had a broken skate and two bad legs, and he has had the gout. What? And lethargy.
And lethargy. No, lethargy.
A. Lethargy, eh?
Lethargy.
Danny.
Turn your mic on.
Sorry, guys. Last one. The Lakers unveiled.
You know what? I know the problem, but we're not going to get to it today. I don't understand the problem with you today.
What?
You're about to step off today, and I understand why. Because you won't be with us in a month here. So I understand why.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Distracted. Yeah.
A little bit distracted.
Yeah. Got emails.
That golf thing go for you.
Yeah.
Did you not take your... Listen, in my defense, Meller turned my mic off. When you were talking.
Miller. I'm telling you, I didn't.
And I thought it was still on.
Would you do that to Carmen and Yurko?
You'll have to tune in between 10 and noon to find out.
Again. Greatest
did you not
ever.
Take your brain supplement today, Danny?
I did. I'm right. Functioning just great.
I'm telling you, I did not touch your mic. That's a personal thing.
All right, let's get to the Lakers, boys. The Lakers unveiled their 2020 NBA championship banner last night. They had fans on hand. LeBron James addressed the crowd, and he set his sights on championship number 18 for the Lakers. Now he turned off my mic.
What happened, man?
He turned off my mic.
Are you with us via Zoom? What's with the dropout? Are you still with us?
My hands are in the air.
What are you doing there?
I'm not touching anything.
You know what? This is just done now. All right, we're done. We're done, Cap. We'll just go to the next segment. This was a bust. I don't understand why. I mean, he's broadcasting via Zoom. Why is there a drop off? Rune. What is going on over there?
Cell.
All right, we'll get to your call. We got to clean these calls up. 312-332-3776.
What's going on, Cap?
We've got issues.
What's going on over there?
I don't
throw
know.
It to break.
Be right back.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Stretch of Cap and Jay Hood. So I was just telling Hoodie at the break. So Zolak and Bertrand on 98.7, the Sports Hub in Boston.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Yep.
The Sports Hub. They just got a phone call on their show from Tom Brady Sr. He called in and said, quote, yeah, we're excited to come up and play the Patriots this year because when we leave there, we'll be 4-0. We're going to beat them rather handily. I think that's awesome. Awesome that Mr. Brady Sr. is talking trash because if his son was quarterbacking the New England Patriots, Belichick would never have allowed that call.
It's never happening.
Your father called who?
Who'd your dad call? That's never happening. I'll cut you.
That's what would happen.
I'll cut your heart out. Yeah. That's what he'd tell him.
Yeah, that, of course. You know, you just never know. You know, Tom Sr. from Brookline, Mass. calls in, and all of a sudden, it's his dad. It's like, oh, God, he's calling in.
Guys, this is Mr. Brady Sr. I'm looking forward to seeing you all again because we're coming up there. We'll be 4-0 after that game. We'll expect to beat the Patriots rather handily.
This schedule, I'm just overjoyed. Of course, it happens every year, but when you see the matchups, the potential matchups, it's so much fun. That's going to be a great one. Tom against his old coach. What does that look like? Is that Tom against Mac Jones? Is that Tom against Cam Newton? Who knows?
Jared Stidham?
Who knows? It's just interesting.
The Chiefs against the Browns in Kansas City? Dude, that's a hell of a football game.
We're going to find out, and Meller will tell us before anybody, the fantasy ramifications of an Odell Beckham Jr. Is the team, Meller, you're going to tell us, is the team will be better or worse with Odell on it?
Tune in between Odell. 10 and 12.
We'll find out as he talks to Yurko about it when they break it down.
No question. All right, let's get back to these phones. Cedric is in Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Cedric, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, man?
You were talking about hitting the seagull, Hoodie. I've got a story. Man, back in the mid to late 80s, I was young in my radio career, and the station that I worked for, I was the midnight to six overnight guy.
Yes.
And we used to have these promotions, the Midnight Madness late night movie deal, and I'm lollygagging around, and I looked at my watch at this location, at this remote, and it was 11:45, so I had to rush to get back to the studio across town to be on air at midnight. Mm-hmm. I'm coming down the street about 45 miles an hour at midnight in Springfield. Ain't much traffic. And this big white dog was off to the left. He made a move to run past in front of me, but he stopped. And a split second later, he decided, oh, nothing for nothing leaves nothing. I'm going to try it anyway. Bam, I nailed him. I look in the rearview mirror as I'm slowing down to about 30 to see his body laying in the road. Did not see him. Look left and right. I couldn't find this big dog. He's about 90 pounds. So I stopped. I rolled down the window, and I couldn't find him, and I started moving slowly, and I heard this. He was stuck under my car.
Oh, God.
I moved. It was back in like 85 or 86. That's when a brand new Honda Accord, the new sleek look came out, my brand new car. And so I moved about a half a block. He wouldn't unstick. I had to stop, put it in reverse. I backed up, boom, 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 boom. I felt the body. And then I drove away and saw him laying in the road. 35 years ago, I remember it like it happened last night.
Oh, that's awful. And a white dog, you said. It was white, right?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. Big old dog. Big.
That's awful.
Oh, man.
I have three dogs at home. That's awful. Hey, Cedric, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Sid.
See you. All right, have a good day. Let's go to Justin in LaGrange. Hey, Justin, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Justin?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, two things. One, I don't know why nobody's talking about this. It's been apparent to me ever since I've seen these commercials. State Farm and all these athletes they have in these commercials, they're just moving on. New team. Jake is that good that he has these guys believing they can make it anywhere. Chris Paul, it's happening to Aaron Rodgers now. It happened to James Harden, Trevor Ariza. Anybody that gets in these commercials, they're moving on. And last thing I want to say is November 9th, 2020, I sent a message to A-Rob, told him we was getting Justin Fields. He was the number two person his whole life. All of a sudden, he goes to number 11. I'm ready for this Bear season, baby. And Cap, I tagged you in a tweet as well. You can look up the evidence. Have a good morning, fellas.
You're the man. Right, have Justin. A good one. Appreciate you.
State Farm is the jinx. That's interesting.
How about that?
It seems like it's helping. Well, it's helping Chris Paul some. I mean, that's a good Phoenix Suns team he's on right now.
It is. Really
Patrick,
good.
Patrick Mahomes is okay, isn't he?
Patrick Mahomes is hung in there pretty well.
Patrick Price. He's not going anywhere.
What is that? What is that, Carm? What did he say? What did he say?
The Patrick Price.
Carm's talking about the Patrick Price that State Farm offers.
We don't give a special price, Patrick. Everyone gets treated with a great price at State Farm.
Why don't you get out of there, Carm?
I got to tell you, I'm hearing a preview of the Carmen and Yurko show where Meller unveils his great thoughts. Great. Meller's got some thoughts today, boys.
A lot of good stuff.
I'm glad that we can help you with your preview your show with Carmen and Yurko. It's amazing, exactly. Isn't it?
Unbelievable.
I mean, no notes today, but on that show, it's going to be a fountain of information.
Fountain. So keep it locked here. We crosstalk in 2 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Take that.